I want to again say welcome to each person and Happy New Year. And my blessings to you, Ed. Well, every time I give my talk, I promised myself I would have just like a little Kate moment also. So this is just Gail recognizing and loving and sweet Kate. So as we go around introducing ourselves, and Kate was a wonderful member of our community, and it still is. I just wanted to just acknowledge that to you. And as we go around the tables, you know, with the energy that we have, just say who you are and maybe just some type of expectation or intention that you have with your being here today. And I am Gail, and I am the facilitator today for both the our first meeting of the year and for our treasure mapping. See where our satellite goes, what pulls us, what stands out for us for the year 2010. We're reading this year from and doing our talks from The Essential Earnest by Ernest. This book is edited by the Reverend Jesse Jenkins, I think. Jennings. And you know, if everyone or anyone has a chance to pick up this book, the introduction, the foreword and the introduction, they are very interesting reads. So I would encourage you to read that. As usual, when with most Science of Mind churches or centers or study groups, we usually like to start off the year, you know, thinking about the oneness that we are, thinking about the first four chapters or the first four paragraphs of the Science of Mind, where we talk about, you know, the oneness, the thing itself, how it works, you know, the way it works, and, you know, etc. Basically, it's in my view, it's basically to bring us all back to why are we here? What is our existence? And how do we interrelate? How do we interact with each other and with our experiences, and still find a sense of ease, a sense of peace, a sense of joy, and still be who we are, even in the senses of calamity, chaos, disintegration apparently around us, you know. And Ernest Holmes, the visionary that he is and was, literally just pulls all that information for us together by talking about the oneness of everything. Reverend Jennings, I'll keep saying Jenkins. You know, he spoke in his introduction, and something really melted my heart when he mentioned about music, and it's interesting that we started off like that today. He said, this is part of the introduction on page 7, from the very first time I encountered the idea of Ernest Holmes, they have felt like the exquisitely exact words to the music already inside of me. And that's how I feel. I mean, I'm not a musician, so I've never put it in that way. I am a person that grew up in the Caribbean, and so I mentioned this to Connie every once in a while, that she feels like a hot knife and butter. And it just melts, you know, and you can spread that soft butter on hot bread and it melts. That's the way I feel about this oneness, this philosophy that I was so in the right time, space, energy to accept within my own self. And to me, that felt really, really good. It felt at home. And I am coming from the space where prior to that, I have been, you know, in an evangelical church, and it's not that there is anything wrong or deviant about it. Because Ernest Holmes actually talks about feeling at home in with all religions. We actually spoke about it in this book. But the prior one, the lost and the salvation issue and having to do so many things to stay abreast of really feeling saved and really being in God's favor and doing the things that felt really depressing, you know. To stay there, to really stay in that space, didn't feel good, but it felt good because I felt in a way superior. I felt really, I felt that, hey, I don't care where you are, I know where I am, and I am headed to heaven. And you know, and I would talk to people under in the vein of, you're lost. You are lost. And the only way you can come into this wonderful good graces is if you put, you know, you give your heart to God. And so you can just imagine the imbalance from one place to the other. And going to receiving this philosophy for the very first time, you know, I would think, oh my gosh, what have I done, you know? But it just felt so good, and it almost felt as though it was just a neat fluid, just a really good flow from where I was to what I'm accepting, accepting the oneness of it all, accepting that within me is God, within me and through me is who God is. And I felt that I didn't have there was no opportunity to defend my past actions, and it wasn't an opportunity also to defend where I am. It just felt like a hot knife on butter. It felt really good. And so with that, I understand perfectly now how a musician would feel about exquisitely putting words to music, and that's really what God is. So we're going to start off thinking, talking about There Is One Life, which is the chapter one in The Essential Ernest Holmes. And I wanted to read just that first paragraph. The whole science of mind teaching is positioned around the idea of oneness. Here, Ernest Holmes explains that idea in some pivotal material from his better known works. And this is a quote from The Essential Ernest Holmes. There is a universal wholeness seeking expression through everything. We are calling it simply life, L-I-F-E. The religionist calls it God. The philosopher calls it reality. Life is infinite energy coupled with limitless creative imagination. It is the invisible essence and substance of every visible form. Its nature is goodness, truth, wisdom, and beauty, as well as energy and imagination. Our highest satisfaction comes from a sense of conscious union with this invisible life. All human endeavor is an attempt to get back to the first principles, to find such an inward wholeness that all sense of fear, doubt, and uncertainty vanishes. And that's end of quote. And that's exactly where I am. It's, you know, we know God from a sense of our inner core. And it seems as though all life is literally wanting to reach back to that point where we innately feel that sense of peace, that sense of wisdom that we all are. And that, you know, our attempt to get back to that point of all knowing is basically, in some ways, in some religions, in some cultures, could literally be seen as creating fear. It's almost fear based, and. So, in other words, we as, and I'm saying science of mind, but we are really not science of mind, we are one people, one life, one God. But with our philosophy, the philosophy of Ernest Holmes, we know that in reaching, if I can rearrange my thoughts here, we understand that life is energy, and Ernest Holmes also says life is all about imagination and thought, and there is an aspect of life that externalizes at the level of our thought. What does that mean? It means that as we think, what we think manifests outward. And so it's imperative that we know and understand that a fear based or a thought based on fear will always manifest fear. A thought based on love, peace, harmony, all of the wonderful qualities you just send into the circle today will always be more of it, because what we think about is manifested. What we think about expands more and more, and that is what life is. Life is just a magnificent expansion, a spiral of more and more magnificent energy. As we put that energy out, it just spirals and it opens and it expands, and it encourages us to be more and more. You know, we are absolutely human, of course, and we are also spirit. We are also divine. We are very sacred. We are God. We are light. We are energy. That energy, that core source that has always been. We call it the mind of God. We call it the universal presence. That's who we are. That's who we are. If I have to put my humanness into the spirit of who I am, that's what I would say that I am. However, because I say that I'm human, there are human issues that must be dealt with. And with dealing with these human issues, this is where the issue of knowing that it's all one, that it's all God, comes to play within my heart, my presence, even in my meditations. Just trying to pull everything together, pull my humanness and my spirituality into one, to make me that more present, more aware, more divine person, to be of good to my fellow men. As Tim mentioned, you know, we are literally individualizations, but we are people. And knowing another, meeting another, is meeting yourself. Is meeting the God in you. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, and of course I can talk about the Bible. There's a verse in the Bible that says, the least you do to each of these, you do unto me. Or you do to my fellow men, you do unto me. And that is such a wonderful, wonderful aspect of the Bible to really relate to, because we are, yes, we are sparks, we are divine individualized sparks or people, but we are also a conglomeration. We are just a wonderful mass of divine sparks that are here. And so we, in knowing that there is only one, and that we are this one, and that the energy and life that I am, I absolutely know that it's the energy and life that Peter is, that Aaron is, that Dan is, that Tim is, Judy is, you know, and we go around the circle. It is who we are. So when I meet a stranger, I meet God. When I meet my brother, I meet my pets, I meet the satellites. you know, it's all God. It's, that's the wonderful energy of interactions. And so, you know, I know we started very late, and I just wanted to mention just a few things before we finish. I have a question. Okay. I just wanted to talk about the fact that within the oneness of it all, Ernest Holmes also wanted to sort of categorize what this oneness is. And so he brought about, you know, the four different categories. And one of the categories of the oneness is the thing itself. And so let me just read a little bit from the passage here again. And this is a quote. "We all look forward to the day when science and religion shall walk hand in hand through the visible to the invisible. Science knows nothing of opinion, but recognizes a government of law whose principles are universal. Yet, any scientist who refuses to accept intangible values has no adequate basis for the values which he has already discovered. Revelation must keep faith with reason and religion with law, while intuition is ever spreading its wings for greater flights. And science must justify faith in the invisible." And so, Ernest Holmes brought about, you know, I'm thinking that he spoke about science and religion in one, because it's all about proving. It's all about getting to the point where I there is a theory, but how we prove that this theory is real, is true, goes through a series of experiments, a series of tests, a series of trying to correlate one thing to the other. And at the end of it, it's either, you know, this is not so or this is so. And most of the times, there is a particular word that he uses, which is called principle. And what principle is, it's just that very constant, I'm trying to find a word, ingredient in any of our life's experiments. So, for example, he mentioned about, you know, having maybe a jar or a mug of water, and you put coloring into the jar. What happens? It changes. It changes to the color that you've put in. And that is quite an expected outcome. So in other words, whatever we put in to our thoughts, whatever we rearrange for an outcome, it is quite provable. And I think that's one of the ways that he sort of introduced science, because it's not about the hardcore, you know, ions and all that stuff, which it is, because it's all there is. However, it's just basically about proving your life, proving your thoughts, choosing the right ingredients to create the outcome that you would like. And so principle is that constant source of maybe God force within our lives. And I'm probably not saying it the right way that I would like to say it, but that's the best way I could say it right now. I'm sure there are other people who could explain it a whole lot better about principle. And so I wanted to also mention that at the second part of after our break, we're going to definitely get into, instead of getting into, the conversations and so on, I think I would like to go ahead and do a visioning of the different of the different qualities of God. And in that way also, it's also introducing and clarifying our treasure mapping experience for after the workshop. Treasure mapping, I don't know if you've heard of treasure mapping before, but treasure mapping is basically about truly trusting the... Honey, could you explain treasure mapping to me?
Sure. It's sometimes called vision board or creation box as well. It's creating a picture of the life that you want to be living and choosing images and words and phrases that evoke for you the feeling of a life that is fully successful and fully realized. And so what we're going to be doing this afternoon after our regular meeting is taking some time to go through some magazines, cut out some pictures, create a vision board. It's not something you have to do with a group. You can certainly do it at home on your own, but it's fun to do it with a group. So we always kick off the new year with the opportunity to look at some of that.
Well, I always trust the flow of what comes out, and in a meeting like this, it's so essential to truly put your heart into what you're hearing, because there's so many things, and today of all days we needed to hear that things can be accomplished and that there's a reach out there. However, it's already here because it's all one, and it's just getting to that point of having the manifestation. So I thank you so much for sharing all those wonderful stories. And I just wanted to end with a little part of what I believe. It's all about the oneness also. And basically just knowing that it's all one, we know. And I'll explain just a little bit more before our treasure mapping in the next after our break. Once we get into treasure mapping, I don't think we're going to start with any prayer or anything, because we would have already prayed in, and we can just feel free to start at any point. So what I believe, and this is what Ernest Holmes came up with, and this is just a short part of it. First, I believe that God is universal spirit, and by spirit I mean the life essence of all that is, that subtle and intelligent power which permeates all things and which in each individual is conscious mind. I believe that God is universal spirit, present in every place, conscious in every part, the intelligence and mind of all that is. I believe that humankind is the direct representative of this divine presence on this plane of existence. I believe that the relationship between God and the individual is a direct one, and that the avenue through which the Spirit expresses itself to us is through our mind. Our ability to think, to know, and to act as direct channels through which this universal spirit flows. And so my encouragement to you is to be open, to remember that our God self is within, to remember that life, the life that we are right here, right now, can never ever die. It's eternal. there is nothing about death in eternality. It's just not happening. And so just know that God is, and God is present right here, right now. Spirit, life force, whatever it is, it's right within me. And within me, because Spirit is here, right here, right now, I have all the wonderful qualities, emanations, everything that God is here within me. And so you're going to remember that when you're choosing your pictures, when you have that focus, when you know what task you have ahead of you, that everything that I have or want or need, I already have it within me. With the intelligence that God has placed within each and every cell in my system, with the intelligence to even think that in my mind I can hear before I can even see, it's all God intuned, imbued, everything is God. So we are a wonderful divine presence, a divine cell, a divine spark that God is. Namaste.
Thank you.